This is the Business of App podcast, bringing you actionable insights from the leaders of the global app industry and the world's fastest growing apps. You can find more app news, data, and analysis over at businessofapps.com.
Welcome to the Business of Apps podcast. On this show, we invite app industry professionals to cover various topics, and we promise to do our best to keep it both insightful but brief. In this episode, we have two guests, Cameron Thom, Director of Sales at Addictive, and Matej Lencaric, User Acquisition and Marketing Consultant. Welcome, guys, to the Business of Apps podcast.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Terrific. Thank you, guys, for coming. It's not like every day you have two guests on the show. It happens rare, but it's always great. All right, let me set the stage first for today's conversation. So what are your options today when it comes to marketing your app? I can tell you from a point of view of a guy who used to be in app marketing back in the 2010, 2015 era, that portfolio of marketing tools have grown up significantly. Today, if you're tasked to grow a user base for an app, you have App Store optimization, paid UI, advertising and podcasts, on TV, on radio, PR, social media marketing, influencer marketing, and content marketing. And there's one more marketing tool which is not always applicable, but once you've got a number of apps in your portfolio, and especially games, you can turn your attention to cross-promotion. And this is what we're going to be talking about today with Cameron and Matej. But first, to kick us off, Matej, please tell us about yourself. What brought you to the crazy field of mobile marketing?
Yeah, thanks. Well, I've been in the industry for 9 years already. I started my career here. Here. I'm from Slovakia, so that's why I say here. Here in Slovakia, at Pixel Federation, I was there for 5 years. I took all their games from Facebook, Canvas, well, that's ages ago, to mobile. I was the soft launch owner and global launch owner of all the games and all the marketing activities. I learned everything I know there. So it's been a very nice ride. But then I changed companies and joined one marketing agency, built a team from scratch there from 0 to 25 people. That was also a very good experience. And then I left the company and started doing this like UA consultancy thing for multiple companies. Oh, well, just to take a step back, I was doing the side gigs here and there when I was at Pixel Federation, just to get more experience from different genres, to work with different games and companies, because different companies and different games have different budgets, so different challenges. So now I just, smoothly went to just do this like full-time consultancy thing. And I do have my own creative team of 10 motion designers. And since I do this, it's like 500% more happiness in my life. So it's amazing. I'm super happy. It's been a great ride. So not complaining at all. I love games. I love marketing. And if, these two things are combined, I'm happy.
So you're at this great stage of your career when you have a ton of experience and now you're master of your own time. You can do whatever you want and plan your own, your work hours the way you want it.
That's awesome. Yeah, the flexibility is amazing. Yeah, I love it.
Terrific. Now, Cameron, you met Matej when you were working in UI, but now you're part of Addictive, which focuses on remarketing. Please tell us about Addictive. Who are your clients?
Yeah, Matej is like one of the great guys of the industry. I was at a UA company previously and then, was looking to work with the same clients, maybe in a different way. And as retargeting grew, I moved to Addictive, which is a French remarketing company specializing in in-app user engagement. We work with gaming and non-gaming apps and to determine the best way to re-engage app users. So we run an initial analysis of in-app user behavior and then develop interactive ads for them at no additional cost, which is nice. And we've seen results in some of the performance indicators that we consistently rival Google and Facebook, which is always a great validation of the work that we do. And for sure. Now, facing the challenges facing UA marketers with Apple's privacy changes and rising costs to acquire net new users, we've leveraged our experiences studying user behavior to build a platform that allows marketers to cross promote their apps within their existing user base, as you mentioned. And you can stretch their acquisition budgets further and increase engagement across the portfolios that way. So it's a a new and exciting product we think the industry hopefully will embrace. But Matei and I have talked a bit about it and we're excited about it.
Fingers crossed. Hopefully people will embrace it. Now, let's introduce the topic. Let's define what is cross-promotion and give people some examples that will be familiar to them.
Yeah, I mean, cross-promotion is very simply the marketing of multiple apps in your portfolio, you know, across the user base. So if you play Candy Crush, we'll look at your user profile and behavior patterns, kind of the monetization lifecycle, how they're spending money over time, and predict when they're likely to churn, and show your recommendation for maybe a Candy Crush 2 in-app before you stop playing forever. So it's that delicate balance of what you've spent already versus the prediction of what you're going to spend in the next app.
All right. And now, Matei, you have run your own cross-promotion campaigns in various companies. So what insights can you share about those experiences?
Yeah, well, it's been always a tough job to run cross promotion, either from the evaluation standpoint or just from the point of talking to the game teams, actually, because of the politics and everything in the within the company. Because if you have a a big company, game teams don't want to lose quote unquote their players mm-hmm. to the game. Well, you know, it's still the same company, but you know how it works.
But, right.
So we ran multiple cross promotion campaigns at Pixel Federation and Boomit as well, and other companies, and basically found out that you can cross promote the players across different games, and it can be successful. It's all about trying to identify the user segments and try to find the sweet spots where they might churn, and then immediately send them to your game in your portfolio. So mm-hmm. that was the first thing. And then when we launched Seaport, which is a simulation game, we are cross-promoting from different games within the simulation genre and from the adventure game, which was called Diggy's Adventure. So what we found out is that these both games were performing similarly well. So the hypothesis was that the simulation, and if you are cross promoting players from the same genre, it's going to work better than from different genres. Eventually, both worked very well. So mm-hmm. we found out that the players that that paid were already familiar with the gaming company. So if it's if you're cross promoting the players within your company, then most probably it's going to work way better than with the different companies. But I'm always I was always a big fan of a cross promotion, and it's been tough to evaluate properly, but definitely can work really well.
So from what you're saying, the biggest problem, not per se technical one, which you can resolve, have an experience and but actually the culture inside the company, the competition between teams inside the company can be on your way. So
exactly.
Analytics, math, putting crunching numbers isn't the biggest issue you may have, actually.
Yeah, because that's the problem. So I'm not sure why the game teams can't understand that it's still the revenue, it's staying in the
exactly.
same company.
You're still the same team.
Exactly. As we are the same team, the same company, but they have their goals, their own motivations, and it's really hard mm-hmm. to let go of these players. Let's say that way.
But we're right. seeing with some of the acquisitions in the space that they're kind of forcing that conversation to happen, mm. right? With all these teams suddenly having to work with one another in a very real way.
One would hope that it will work, broadly in the industry. More people will jump on board this idea that at the end of the day, you're the teams behind inside a big team, and you're all, should join forces, not compete with each other. Now, question to you both. We just touched briefly on the one specific case, but generally speaking, thinking about games overall, what genres are kind of compatible to each other? when you have a portfolio of games, and can you give a bigger picture? Okay, what games are compatible with each other when it comes to cross promotion?
It's always about the player profiles, like I mentioned in the beginning. So, for example, if you have a female player, they definitely play match three games, but also some casual titles, adventure titles, social casino as well. And you know, that's how it is always. So, if you find these common interests and the overlaps between those players and their games, that's something that works. And you can't say like, okay, so if you cross promote RPG with match three, it won't work. Most probably that won't be that efficient, but you can still find these players that play both match three and or RPG. Because for example, on one Forex game I worked on before, there was like a huge amount of female players that were playing very actively, and they were paying quite a lot of money, but you wouldn't expect that in Forex game.
Exactly.
On the other hand, in match three and in Candy Crush, my former colleagues, they were just, you know, very much players of the League of Legends and Dota and whatever else. They were playing the Candy Crush because, well, at the later stages, it was really challenging for them to, you know, to play that game. And again, Would you think that there will be a lot of male players at the, you know, the later stages of the game? Most probably not. So again, all about these, you know, pockets of players here and there. So if you do the segmentation right, it can work. It can work very effectively.
Yeah. So overall, go ahead.
I think just one of the early biases that I've talked to folks with is that, okay, you're gonna cross promote one casino app that's the same as the other casino app. I mean, for you to get that ad, is that exciting to you after you've spent a ton of money and are generally like pretty bored of that app? Probably not, right? You're not looking to download the same exact app. And so I think that insight can't be understated on what Matei is saying. You know, if you have a different type of game that's built in a way that resonates with the user, that may be a better cross promotion opportunity than sending them the exact version of the game that they've already grown tired of. So there are some insights to be learned there. And then you can also pair those profiles Matei is talking about with, you know, the different genres of games. So certainly with the monetization life cycle of hyper casual, it's going to happen super quickly. You know, that user is going to churn maybe within that first day. So in that scenario, affinity scoring is what we call it, where we start to look at the other games in your apps and predict which one is going to resonate the most with that user.
Well, with hyper-casual, this is actually really important because all of the bigger publishers, they are cross-promoting everything within their portfolio as soon as they can, because they already understand like those players are not going to stick in their games for a long period of time. So as soon as, you know, after day three, day seven, maybe they're just trying to send them to the different game in their portfolio just to maximize the LTV.
So there is always makes sense to compete with yourself as opposed to somebody else, right? So, and I guess like kind of overall, the outcome would be, yeah, there is a established understanding of what genres are more like a being preferred by guys and girls overall, but still, if you're doing your analytics right, you'll be able to find these small pockets of folks who are actually out of this cliche, but you still can monetize these people and connect them with the game. They will appreciate and spend some money, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Then you can maximize the LTV. You know, like if you acquire that one person to one of your games, and then you just, you know, send them to three of your other games, then you pay it once, but then you can earn, you know, three times more.
Right. So what would be your the general suggestion for a strategy for app owners, for game owners to run cross promotion to address the challenges we've just talked about?
From what I think it's always a good exercise to have a game where you can have very low CPIs to acquire people and players, and then use that as a funnel to your other games, basically, because that's like really effective. You know, like you're paying hyper casual type of CPIs, and then based on your own database and the data team, you can just send the players to your other games.
That's a smart way of doing with that. Yeah, you should patent this one if it's possible.
Yeah, that's for sure.
The app industry is vast. To navigate this space, you need a directory to look up suppliers and partners, and you need to know who are the best. Visit our marketplace directory at businessofapps.com/marketplace/podcast. And now, back to the show.
All right, now we're coming to the second part of the show where we're just covering a quick, brief questions for every guest on the show. This is how I give a chance to the audience, to people who are listening to us, to know every guest on the show a little bit better. So my question to both you guys will be this. What smartphone do you have? Have we been switching between these two giants, Android and iOS, or just staying one side all the time?
Well, Cam, you can go first.
I used to dabble in some Android, and then I switched over to iOS due to some lagginess issues, and then I've been scared of switching back due to the green versus blue texting issue, which I've read is like 70% of why Apple keeps their market share. But one of my friends switched on a group text thread and has been shamed ever since. So it's really just being shamed away from Android for me.
Yeah,
I'm an
iOS user as well, but it's been really funny because I started with like my first or like first phone was like actually a Windows phone. It was HTC Diamond, which is like ancient history, is like way, way, way back, like 15 years ago, maybe even more. I was a really, really proud first adopter of Windows Mobile, but then just eventually switched to iOS because there were like zero games and applications on Windows Phone.
Yeah.
So since then I am iOS 13 at the moment. I have that phone. I'm not going back for sure.
So yeah, I do remember there was a time when we kind of hesitantly talking about the third option, Windows Mobile.
Yeah.
For a while as platform number three, then gradually those conversations kind of died out. We're not talking about Windows Mobile anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So just jumping a little bit farther in time, before smartphone to multi-capacity touchscreen smartphones era, what was your phone like, just a regular mobile phone, the one you can carry in your pocket?
Yeah, I mean, I would probably still use it today, but it was that brick Nokia that was like, man, that could survive anything. And there was no smart interface, but it was built really well.
Yeah, I had Sony Ericsson or something like that. It was just like really old. I just like had everything basically. So I was just fine. All good.
Yeah, yeah. And I bet the battery could last for a week or more.
Oh, no, a couple of days.
Three days.
Yeah, it's way better than now, of course, but you know, we have more features in the phone.
Yeah, I would agree with that. What about the situation if any of you guys have left your smartphone at home, and what would be the most missing feature for you when you're going out?
Missing feature in a good way is not to be harassed by my wife about the kids. So that's a great feature. I think the other feature, I was just thinking about a world before navigation services and what we did. You know, I was going down to the dentist and figuring out how to get there. You know, I just felt really like lucky to be living in a time where you can navigate so easily, because I'm terrible with directions. So that would be a big one for me.
Yeah, for me as well. I use Google Maps all the time. And now in Istanbul, I just, you know, I couldn't stand a chance in here. It's like, I need it. Except that, I think like I would be fine pretty much, but you know, Yeah, the kids gosh, and
I hear you about the maps.
About the kids, yeah, it's it's getting to me as well.
Yeah, no, we can agree on that. Okay, so now just a final question. The segment will be this. If there's anything on your smartphones which you're kind of thinking, wouldn't it be great if my smartphone can do that? And I'm not talking about, you know, hypey topics, something that everybody is talking about, but something you would wish your smartphone be able to pull off for you and that will be actually helpful for you.
For me, it's kind of already done it. I don't know if Android's doing it, but iOS has been showing your screen time. And I've started to like gamify it with myself to reduce it week over week. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's naturally inclined me to be really conscious of how much I'm on my screen and to be present just with, you know, interactions with my family and others. But I think it's really helped to get back into reading and being conscious of, you know, what I'm doing outside of constantly checking email.
Yeah, well, in regards to the constantly checking the emails, what I've done a couple of years ago, I just turned off every notification I have. And I check the phone when I want, not when the phone wants me to check it. And that's been, that's really a life-changing thing that I've done before. So I wouldn't like want to get anything into my smartphone like on top of it. So I'm pretty much fine.
I would totally agree with you guys. When I turn off my notification for Facebook when I was still using Facebook, which I'm rarely doing these days, but initially when you have like, you know, so to speak, three apps on your phone, having notification was really helpful. When you have dozens of those apps, having notifications is not a good idea. You have to be a master of your smartphone, not the vice versa.
Yeah, the Slack was just every minute was just beeping at
boom,
me like,
boom,
hey,
boom, boom.
Yeah, here's a new message, something is happening.
Kind
of like, yeah, nope, bye.
Bye, see you.
I will see you in 2 hours. Yeah, it's like,
right.
It's not how it works now.
Exactly. All right, just a very final question. How can people get in touch with you both and get more information about what you do?
Yeah, you can go to www.addictive.com and check out both our retargeting and our cross-promotion product pages. And then my email is just cameron@addictive.com in case you want to chat further.
Yeah, you can find me on LinkedIn, which is Matej Lancarič, or on my website, which is lancaric.me. And that's that's how you can ping me there.
Terrific. Thank you, Cameron and Matej. Thank you guys for coming on the podcast and spending time with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And that was Cameron Thom, Director of Sales at Addictive, and Matej Lancarič, User Acquisition and Marketing Consultant. To listen to more episodes, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, just search for Business of Apps, and you will find us easily. Remember, we release episodes every Monday, so subscribe and you will be able to get new episodes on your smartphone, tablet, computer as soon as we release them. And please don't forget to leave us a review and comment on iTunes. It is highly appreciated. And all episodes will also be available on businessofapps.com. Thank you for listening, guys. See you next week. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Business of Apps podcast. For more, head on over to businessofapps.com.